Happy Wednesday night. Look at you. Another day. Another successful or unsuccessful performance. Either way, you know what? Day is done. Gone the sun. You pack it up, you pack it in, and you get ready to rise up and do it again on a Thursday. That's right. Feeling like motivating you and myself right now as we start the night side tonight. Mark Harmon with you till 1 in the morning. Big show tonight. Dez Clark, former Chicago Bear, the number two leading receiver at the tight end position behind Mike Ditka. He'll be joining us a little bit after 10:30 tonight. I want to have a conversation about bias. That's right. We got some bias going on in this world. And by the way, bias isn't a bad thing. It's okay, we're all biased. You can admit it. It's all right. There's certain things that you like in life more than other things. You grew up, you were living the dream. Maybe you were fed a Twix bar when you were five and it's your favorite candy bar. Perhaps you never tried the whatchamacallit. You're biased to the Twix. I get it. People have biases in color, which applies to the conversation that I'm going to have with Dez Clark and why the Bears drafted Mitchell Trubisky. People don't like to talk about it, but I'm doing it without any judgment. It's okay. It's the world that we live in. You're a normal human being. We all have biases. So we'll do that with Dez coming up at 10:35. I'd like to say thank you to Phil Rosenthal from the Chicago Tribune. Very surprised to wake up on Monday morning, and there was the headline. Ed Obradovich, Dan Hampton, and Glenn Kozlowski go full Vesuvius mode, quote, bunch of nincompoops, on WGN Radio after the Bears' latest loss. Now, you probably know that I'm a part of that show, as I like to call it the Ernie Johnson NBA on TNT role. Just, you know, play the point guard with a Hamp and OB and a Kaz. And here are the quotes from Phil Rosenthal that he pulled up. By God, Ed Obradovich said, spitting fire, as one might expect. When is the press, when is somebody in this town going to take that Nagy and that Pace, those two morons, when are they going to take them to task? Which, it looks a little harsher in print than it actually sounds on the radio. We're pulling that audio, by the way. We have the audio. Yeah, why don't we just play how that sounded to start the show on Sunday afternoon if we can here, please. Let's hear this, Michael Heidemann. Hamp, OB, and Kaz, indeed, as we take you into a 3-5 Bears team as they fall to the Eagles 22-14.
I was nervous right
and
now.
3 hours of misery.
That's one way of putting it, OB. Phone number is 312-981-7200. We're with you till 6 o'clock tonight.
You can hear me
as mathematically, the Bears are alive, but logically, the season is coming to an end way before anyone wanted. They did get it within a one-score game after being down 19-0, but too little, too late, and the Eagles take this one. Hample, you want to start today with your
thoughts?
Well, why
not? You know, OB, as we sat there and watched the first half unfold, and we both looked at each other incredulously saying, what in the hell is Nagy doing? You know, come on.
Nothing. That's what he's doing.
Okay. And you know what? You want a pat on the back. They're down 19-0. They didn't quit and get blown up. But, you know, pat on the backs are for losers. It's okay. No, it's not okay. You know, and it goes back to what happened last week, how you just squandered away a chance to stay alive, stay in this thing. And today's game would have been more tolerable if we would have won. But still, that made today's game a must-win, a must-win. And we see what we see in the first half, that miserable excuse for a game plan, and at some point you're saying, hey, he's starting to kind of get it. We Trubisky was under the center almost 80% of the time today, a huge improvement in the efficiency of the offense. But still, what did we have? Minus 10 yards at halftime? It was a beyond embarrassment what we were trying to do on offense with no execution, no blocking, no rhythm, no anything. And the defense was just AWOL. But in the second half, yeah, we made a couple of plays. You know, we finally, the boot, the half boot and the bomb to Taylor Gabriel gets us in a position where we score. We don't go for two, which is insanity. But at the end of the day, you got to say, what the hell is this head coach, offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy, thinking when he goes into a game with a game plan like that?
Dan, I've got the answer for you. Stupidity prevails. You know, folks, you sit here.
Give it to him, Obi.
And you watch this game unfold.
Let it out, Obi.
And you watch Nagy, who was our head coach and obviously our offensive coordinator and the game plan caller. Okay? It's week after week after week. And finally, in their eighth game, the ninth game of the season, we finally see Nagy in the second half throw the ball down the field. My God, what does it take for you to wake up? We have Trubisky up until last week. I think, what was it, one game or two games? Trubisky was 8 for 8 completions behind the line of scrimmage. And then he was 3 of 6 for less than 5 yards. And this is an NFL offense. This is Matt Nagy, who's supposed to be a genius, whom that idiot we got for a general manager brought over here. You know, it's enough is enough. You see it right in front of you. You tell me this is game planning in the year 2019 for the Chicago Bears. We got a defense that can, yes, win you a Super Bowl. It can. Have we been playing great this year? Not all that great, but damn good enough to win.
All right, Dobie, I got you. I'm cutting back in here as we're getting up against the break. But the point is, I did not expect the Tribune to be writing up the show, and so we thank you. And the quotes, and it's 34 years as we continue down the OB path since we won the World Championship. 34. And they're stumbling, they're bumbling, they're fumbling around like a bunch of nincompoops. Nincompoops made a headline. I haven't heard anybody say the word nincompoop in at least 15 years. And there it was, said by OB, and all of a sudden it makes the headline. And I feel very proud and slightly embarrassed at all at the same time that, you know, the show made the paper. Nincompoops. Headline, Heinemann. What do you think?
It's pretty huge. I mean, I was listening back to that audio, I had to turn on my headphones a few times. Very, very heated.
It's real, man. Those guys are real. And, of course, we're back Sunday afternoon at 3. And hopefully, I think the Bears are going to win this week. They're playing the Lions. And the fingers are crossed that Mitchell Trubisky has a big-time game. Hey, Ben Bradley investigates one of the biggest reasons so many murder cases go unsolved in Chicago. Getting away with murder, that's on the WGN News at 9 o'clock tonight. All right, so coming on back here, I have a situation that we're going to discuss about. I have this thing, it's a podcast. You ever heard of a podcast? I'm sure you've heard of a podcast. Heinemann,
I've heard of a podcast before.
Do you listen to podcasts?
All the time.
So I have a problem with this podcast that I have. It's the On the Mark podcast. So I went to the top of the food chain. Katie Nolan, always late with Katie Nolan.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a huge name.
Big time podcaster, big time talent. She's going to help me out. I'll explain with the podcast coming on back here as we try to launch the podcast into like the top of the podcast or the middle of the podcast, or above the bottom of the podcast world. So, Katie Nolan, coming up next, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 1019. Hope you had a great Wednesday. Mark Carmen with you until 1 in the morning. Des Clark from your Chicago Bears coming up after 10:30. So, I've been doing this podcast thing for a while now. Everybody in media's got to have a podcast. Michael Heidemann, do you have a podcast?
Yes, I do, and it's called Sound Sessions, and you can find it here on WGNRadio.com.
That's a beautiful thing. David Jennings, do you have a podcast?
No, I do not.
Maybe someday, though, right? Everybody's got to have a podcast.
Why?
Okay. You're a news guy. I get it. You don't need a podcast.
I think that's a good name for David's podcast.
Why?
Why?
Why with David Jennings?
Why?
I mean, listen. I'm just,
why?
So I went with On the Mark. And I was all excited about that. On the Mark, man. I'm going to be on the Mark.
Let me guess. Someone already had it.
Well, see, that was a thing.
Someone had it. Oh.
Right. So there's a golf podcast on the Mark. Anyway, so I've been wondering what to do with this. And so today I got to talk to Katie Nolan, who does Always Late, and she's got has had like multiple podcasts that have all taken off. So I figured that I would try to lean on her, and now in about a second, lean on you guys. But this was like 2 minutes with Katie Nolan on my podcast, if you will.
I figured since we had you today that you could perhaps help me with my podcast, which is called On the Mark. And you've got all these great names and sports. The question mark is phenomenal. On the Mark. See, I'm competing with some golf podcast that's On the Mark. So I'm thinking about maybe rebranding. So I came up with some names here.
Just, let's hear them. I'm so excited.
Yes. Just Showered. What do you think? Because like today I was coming in for, you know, to interview you and I'm like, I can't interview Katie Nolan without showering. So then I thought Just Showered, but then that's not very funny. Then I thought,
I think it's a hard no on Just Showered. What else you got?
What about Didn't Shower? Like, would that make people interested? Like, this dude might smell like he's just.
Well, so that's at least, that's more on brand for me. Cause I'll tell you what, I woke up, rolled over and called into this interview line. So I did not shower. I feel a lot more comfortable with Didn't Shower, but you don't want to lead with, hello, I smell bad. So maybe we just get away from the shower thing altogether. You got anything that isn't shower related?
What about Dance with Who Brung Ya?
Oh, see, now that's a good one. I take issue with the conjugation of brung. I know that that's the phrase, but I want to say brought because it's not, if that's how you would say it. And I don't know who to talk to about it, but I'd like it to be fixed.
So that's, of those three, you like Dance with Who Brought You?
Yeah, I would say, but you gotta say brung, because people are gonna say that the phrase is Dance with Who Brung You. So I think Dance with Who Brung You is good, it's just a little long.
Yeah, it's a little long. What about I'm Here?
What about like, wait, what?
I'm Here. I'm Alive. What's
I'm
up?
I'm Here is good because you can do the, like, I'm here with Katie Nolan, you know? Like, that's what you say at the beginning of an interview. I think I'm here is not too bad.
Okay, this is big. I think we're going with I'm here. Now I'm here.
Oh, this is so exciting.
And then you have a huge impact in this. When this thing takes off, what kind of, do you want any part of the negotiation? Do I owe you anything for this?
Yeah, just, you don't owe me anything. Just name it I'm Here with Katie Nolan and that'll be fine. And you can host it. I don't want anything to do with it, but just make sure my name's right there on the title.
So there we go. I'm Here. Would you listen to a podcast that's called I'm Here? And then I could be, I'm here with Ed Obradovich. I'm here with Dan Hampton. I'm here with Donald Trump, whoever. What do you think? Heidemann, you got a bad look on your face. Like, I'm taking suggestions here, mm-hmm. team. 312-981-7200. On the Mark, can't compete with this other guy. The golf thing is just, it's killing me. So we need something new. I'm looking for suggestions, or maybe perhaps I'm Here is the answer. I'm Here with Mark Carmen, right there. That's something that you put in your playlist, and you listen to it every week, and your life is better because of it, because of I'm Here.
You know, when I'm thinking of I'm Here and I hear that title, I'm thinking that's more like a, sounds like a therapy line, like I'm here for you. That's what I'm thinking.
But that could be good. I could be here for you.
Okay.
I could be. I'm here. I'm right here for you.
Maybe just you could like
let's talk.
You could help depressed Bears fans after each game. Well, like, I'm here for you.
Right. It could be a sports depression, which is
actually I think you just said the words.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Let's talk with Mark Carmen. Let's talk. Could that right there? Why fancy it up? Let's get right down to it. Let's talk. It's not sexy, but it really kind of it gets there. 773 for a football podcast. Mark down. This is not just football here, team. We got to do everything. I'm here for ya. That adding in the for ya from the 847. Not just I'm here for ya. I'm here for ya. With a little for ya. That personalizes it. I like that 847. I know we can do this, team. I wake up at 3 a.m. thinking to myself, what can I do for the guy? On the Mark's not working. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's the name. Let's go with the name because I can't change me. I can't change you, but I can change the name. Let's get rid of On the Mark.
Kibitzing with Carmen.
Kibitzing with Carmen. Not bad, Jennings. I like that. Let's kibitz.
The alliteration
it's
works.
It's a little too Jewish, but that. But, you know, I mean, I can say that as a Jew, but, you know, it's a little too on brand. Mike, you got a name for the pod, man? Mike, hang on a second here. I don't have you on the board. Now you can talk. Go ahead, Mike.
What's up, Carmen? I can save this for you real quick.
Okay.
Still on the mark, so on the mark.
Still on the mark. What was the last part?
Still on the mark or so on the mark.
Soul on the mark?
S-O, like so, oh,
so
on the mark.
So on the mark. Ooh. You put the, see that thing, now all you got to do is just add the S-O. I mean, I got sweatshirts, I got t-shirts of on the mark, so all I would have to do is just, you know, throw in a little S-O on there, and then these t-shirts are still good.
Just cut me a piece of the pie, bro, we're good.
All right, Mike, I got you, appreciate you. 312. Later. Thanks. 312-981-7200. Cindy. Cindy, what do you got?
Well, I think that Let's Talk sounds like a sex line, you know, like, I'm here, Let's Talk, and it sounds like we're going to be talking about, like, sex talk all night long.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Yeah. I hear, I got it. This is a PG podcast here, Cindy.
Well, I'm just telling you, that's what it sounds like to me. It's like, come on, let's talk, and, you know, we're going to be dropping some sex talk here, so... I'm not thinking Let's Talk is like your best brand there. All right, then. Come on, spin.
Let's talk about, yeah, but people, you know, they in the podcast world, Cindy, they kind of like a little bit, you know, dirty it up a little bit here. You know, we're not.
I don't have a problem if you're going to dirty it up. My problem is that what you want to do? Because, you know, that's going to be what people are going to think.
Right. Well,
so I would squash the Let's Talk.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thanks, Cindy. I appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome.
Cindy's letting me know you don't want to go down. You don't want to go down that way, Carm. You're a professional. I don't know. Maybe Cindy's just a little bit sensitive on that particular topic. Although she says she isn't. All right, a lot of texts coming in here. I'm going to read some of these coming up after 10:30. I think we're going to talk to Dez perhaps a little bit after 11. We're working on this, team. I really appreciate it. On the mark, going to the next level with something new, a rebrand. Courtesy of you on 720 WGN. It's the night side, 720 WGN. Mark Harmon with you tonight. Thanking you for your contribution on my podcast. On the Mark is going to have to go away. Name's not working. Competing with too many other On the Marks. Trying to make a difference in the podcast world. Means a lot to me. Nothing like seeing your download numbers. How many plays? Trust me, it's not easy living this life. Only 200 people listened. Do you understand how much I put? Do you know how much effort I put into that? Do you understand how big of a name having Katie Nolan or Will Perdue or Martellus Bennett is?
I don't know the code or the analytics, how to crack that code, because you put so much work into a podcast, and then you see those small numbers, and you're like, what do I need to do? Universe, tell me.
People are busy, man. So I think that's why I'm changing the name.
A lot of choices.
Yeah. Let's see here. 312-981-7200. Changing the name from On the Mark to something better. Katie Nolan, the great Katie Nolan. You see her on Always Late. On ESPN, you follow her on Twitter at Katie Nolan, Instagram, whatnot. Hysterical person, very talented, very smart. She's going with I'm Here. And then we got a couple I'm Here for Yuz. And now I'm getting Am Here for You or Count Me In. I like Am Here for You. Market Maker from the 847.
Like a little whiskey flavor.
Right.
Market Maker.
I like this one. Mark My Words. But see, that's a little high and mighty. Mark My Words. Like, it's almost threatening.
You'd have to have a very booming sound effect at the end where it's like
you,
a gavel.
And then I'm like prediction guy and I'm telling you what's gonna happen. I don't wanna do that. I'm not talented enough to do that.
Yeah, everyone would go, that's like a gambling podcast.
Mark My Words. I know you want broadcasters to have opinions, and I have them too, but, you know, that's just, I don't know. Got to put Chicago in the title from the 773. I don't know. I mean, sure, maybe, but I don't know if Chicago necessarily needs to be in the title. I like that one from the 773 question mark. Like, eh.
Question mark. Are they saying like question mark or
like
question mark?
Question. I don't know. I think I
question
I,
mark.
Question mark. Like, eh. I don't know. Do you want to listen to this? Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not.
Carol. And by the way, my name doesn't necessarily have to be in there. Carol, welcome to WGN. What do you have, Miss Carol?
I have for you putting on the mark as putting on the Ritz.
Putting on the
putting
Ritz.
On the mark. See, putting on the mark.
See now, Carol.
What?
If I may ask you a question, Carol. You're how old are you, Carol?
Young enough to know better.
Right, there you go. You're young enough to know better. But like putting on the Ritz, like the podcast world, that there are these are young people. They don't know that song, do they?
Yeah, but then we're not talking about a song. I'm just saying putting on the mark.
But I start hearing like din 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 din. Like that's the intro for it, Carol. Din din din.
I see. You have to put a music to it. But I you know, I listen to you every night on my way home. So you know. It was just a suggestion.
Carol, I greatly appreciate the suggestion, and I'm considering it right now. I'm just, you know, I'm bantering it around with you. We gotta poke holes in these things before we make it official. You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
Yeah.
But, I think you should keep your name in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's part of it all. You know, you're part of, 720. That's
damn
it.
Straight. Thank you, Carol.
Right.
Where are you coming
bye,
home?
Well,
no, don't leave. Well, I got one more question for you. Where are you coming home from, Carol?
Oak Brook.
Okay. Were you working tonight?
I am. I'm at Bar Louie, Oak Brook Terrace.
Oh, there we go. How was the crowd tonight?
Fabulous.
What's the most annoying thing a patron does that you would like to just educate them on that you wouldn't say on the job, but you might say right now, Carol?
No, nothing that aggravates me.
Oh, you're built for the industry. Carol, you're a hero. I don't know how you handle these people, including myself.
All right, Lovey.
Yeah, okay, Lovey. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Love, Carol. Coming back from Bar Louie in Oak Brook. Great place to have a Wednesday night dinner. I think it's that whole section there. You got the Bar Louie, you got the Wildfire, you got the Cheesecake Factory, all that. Carm Zappa Crappa. I don't know about that 312. That's not very nice. Ooh, we got a lot of... Michael Heidemann just wrote a lot of stuff down for me here. Did you just make all this up, or did you just... Oh, phrases that contain the word mark. Sound the Carm alarm. Carm alarm.
Mm-hmm.
Down on the Carm. See, but then you're like, down on me. You don't like me that much.
Down on the farm.
Old MC Carmen had a pod. I don't know.
And I was thinking more like old Mick Carmen had a pod.
It's not terrible. The final markdown from the 847 is not bad. It's the final markdown. I like a musical component to the name.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Kind of a stretch. I like it, though.
Yeah. I'm listening, like the Fraser Crane character. I'm listening.
Mm.
I like that. I'm not the guy that's just talking. I listen to you. I give you the opportunity to express yourself, and then I respond. That's what makes a good broadcaster. You're not just on to your next question. You're actually listening, and you're in the moment. Like I was trying to be with Carol, and coming back from Bar Louie, all that. I don't mind that. I'm listening. It's not that easy, but I'm trying. As you get older in life, you know, got a lot of things flying through that. It's hard to listen, right? But I like that. On the mark, get set, or get set on the mark. Mm-hmm. That's a little corny for me, but I like it. I like it. Kick the ball around. Kicking the ball around with Carm.
What about the gospel according to Mark?
The markup is not bad there, 847. I like that. Let me get John in here. What's up, John? Welcome to WGN. Jono? John? John.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry.
You're all right, John. Go ahead, buddy.
So it's get on the mark, get set, or get set on the mark.
Okay. Which one do you like more of those two there, John? We got to pick one.
Kind of a toss-up, but get set. Okay. On the mark.
Get set. On the mark. Thanks, John. Appreciate you. 312-981-7200. All right, there's like 7 zillion texts here. Thank you so much. Just trying to hit, let's see here. And the people that are texting and screaming at Ed Obradovich, he's not here right now. That's going to leave a mark.
That's a good one.
That's not bad.
Has a buzz. Leave a mark.
That's going to leave a mark. And then, you know, you got to have an intro in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Something.
That actually, that's the snappiest one yet so far. Because you want...
leaving a mark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about going home with Mark Carmen? Now that seems kind of sexual.
That's, yes. There's a lot of innuendo that goes into that.
But
one.
We could do like, what about I'm coming home, tell the world I'm coming home, listening to Carm, coming home. My ego's out of control right now. But wouldn't that be fun? That's a good tune, yeah. Right there. Sports remark, our permanent mark. I don't know if I'm permanent.
Not ready to make that commitment.
Yeah, it's a lot of commitment, but like permanent. I feel like this in this business, you can never really be permanent. Permanent mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, work here for you on this podcast forever. It's permanent. Comes out every week. Maybe it should be daily. Right now, I'm focusing on weekly.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, man. You know, every week.
So the key words, weekly podcast show. You want to have your name in it, Mark or Carmen, because On the Mark, that's a great name. I'm kind of bummed
I do like
On the Mark.
You do like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could keep it. It's keepable. I just, you know, there's just other On the Mark podcasts. That's that. You know, when you search it. Well, I can't find your podcast.
Yeah.
I get that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's On the Mark with Mark Carmen. I'm sorry. Just put my name in there, too. If you need to throw in fan side, throw that in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Throw W. I mean, you know.
You want to be the only Google search name that comes up. Number one on the search list.
Right,
I understand.
Right. That's what we're trying to do here. So that's the rebrand. Get the mark out from Chewy. That's not bad, Chewy.
Mm.
Thank you, Chewy. All right. Now, a lot of people are texting in skid mark, which feels a little uncomfortable. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a morning zoo show. That's not a podcast.
That's a little too aggressive. All right. Thank you. Well, here, I'll read a couple more. Hit the mark. Make the mark. Not bad. All right. Hold on real quick. Mary, go ahead, Mary. What do you got?
Mark this. Day.
Mark this day.
Mark this day. Yeah, I like that.
Mark this day. Mark this moment. I like that, Mary. You're like carpe diem right there.
Very good. I like it too.
I mean, that's a way to live your life, right? Mark this day. I like that, Mary.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary. Okay. Okay.
Thank
fine.
You.
Yep. You're welcome, Mary. Thank you. She's like, okay. Don't overdo it, there, buddy.
She didn't want any cut into that podcast.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, you weirdo. You're getting a little too excited about Mark this day, but I like that. Mark this day. What do you got, Craig?
Yeah, your weekly mark of excellence.
Do you think I can do that, Craig? That's a lot there, pal. Your weekly mark of excellence. Wow.
Got to set the bar high.
Set the bar high, right? Set the bar high, your weekly mark of excellence.
It's got the weekly in it. It's got your name in it.
Yeah.
It tells people how great it is.
Your weekly mark of excellence.
Yep. All right, I got to go. Have a great night, man.
See you, Craig.
All right.
This is unbelievable. People are straight hanging up on me tonight.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody say hitting the mark yet?
We got a hitting the mark.
Okay.
That's not bad. It's not bad. 312-981-7200. Keep flowing in here. Indelible mark or magic mark or hash mark. Think of those. I kind of like hash mark, but that might be a little bit too on the drug culture. You might think that I'm trying to, you know, play that game, which is a fine game, but, you know, not necessarily the brand I'm going. Calm down. I don't mind that.
Wow.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's excellent there. Calm down. Marked for life. See, that's another like permanent thing right there. Where people, I don't know if people want to be marked for life. Let me get Marie in here. What's up, Marie? What do you got?
Just the one you need. Remarkable.
Remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
Marie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's a good one.
And like we could write it like re, then a dash, and then a mark. We could put some like lines under it.
Right.
A bull. And we could even like make it B-U-L-L, which would be on brand for my love of basketball, Marie. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think you're a basketball fan, judging by that last part there, Marie.
No, I'm not. I'm a hockey fan.
There you go. Go mm-hmm. Hawks. They're about to turn it around. All right.
That was a stand-up triple.
Thanks, Marie.
That's a good one.
That was excellent. Remarkable. Thanks.
Remarkable.
Marie, what are you?
And you'll capitalize the R.
Yeah.
And the M and the A. Remarkable.
I like it. What'd you have for dinner tonight, Marie?
What did I have for dinner?
Yeah.
I don't know. I had just a salad.
Oh, yeah? Anything in it? A little chicken?
Oh, I love chicken. Yes, I like chicken.
I like chicken, too. Chicken. All right. No potato tonight, Marie? No starch? No mac and cheese?
Not tonight. I ate kind of light because I had a big lunch.
All right. What was for lunch?
I had spare ribs.
Oh, wow. Where'd you get that?
At the local grocery market.
Okay. Oh, so you cooked it yourself?
No, I don't cook.
Am I getting too personal?
I've cooked for so many years, I don't cook anymore.
Am I getting too personal here, Marie?
Pardon me?
Am I getting too personal in your life, asking you all your meals in the day?
No, not at all.
Okay, I don't want to make you uncomfortable
here. I'm 91 years old.
Yeah, there you go. It's you lay it all out at 91, right, Marie? No sense in holding back. Yeah, no, I got it. All right, thanks, Marie. Appreciate you.
Welcome. Like you, Mark.
Oh,
you're good.
Thanks, Marie. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to make it all about me. You're calling. You're trying to help me. I want to learn about you. What'd you have for lunch? You know, what are your favorite things?
Mm-hmm. And if she has the name, you got to know it's coming from the right source, right person. You know?
Yeah.
If she's eating a healthy meal, she's a good mind.
And she was, I mean, she was so helpful and wanting to just be involved. They're remarkable. Thanks, Marie. 312-981-7200. My lovely fiance Chelsea is texting Carm for life. Aw, thank you, babe. Mm. That's adorable.
Is that the wedding hashtag or the name for the pod?
They were thinking about that as some level of wedding something.
Okay. I could see that, because you need a Snapchat code or whatever they have these days. Hashtag.
Yeah, right, the
Carm
hashtag.
For life.
Right, for the bachelorette.
Wait a minute. Don't you have a viral video that was called Carm for life?
That was Cab for life.
Oh, Cab for life.
Cab for life. For my guy LeBron James, when I told everyone that dude was leaving to go to the Lakers, but I said he'd be a Cav for life in his heart. Let's see here. 312-981-7200. I've got to be honest, I am enjoying this. How about that demographic? The 91-year-old demographic? Sir, I don't know what you're talking about. Mark Madness. I like that. Let's get some NCAA hoop going on here. Wildcat basketball, by the way, Friday night will be out there at Welsh Ryan Arena. Looking forward to it. Mark Madness. Not bad. Melanie with Mark My Day. Mark My Words. I think we had that one already. And I'm getting, but that seems, I guess, it's a little much.
Yeah, that was.
No Carm, no foul. Ooh, I like that. No Carm, no foul.
That has a lot of great sport connotations. No Carm, no foul.
No Carm, no foul. I love that.
What's the logo gonna be? Because I'm picturing you with like a whistle in your mouth, or
see, I don't know if I can like the
behind the mic.
I've got that. I mean, I've got my little Mogo logo with the mic thing going on. I don't know.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know if I want to change that.
No, I mean you got to keep the merch fresh.
Yeah,
so.
I mean the merch is already out there. Mark It Down is not bad. Let me get Alan in here real quick. What's up, Alan? Welcome to WGN.
Hi, I think this one just hit me. I think it's so good. You'd certainly want to send either a large check or free tickets to some games.
What do you got, Alan? Let's hear it.
Are you going to accept it? If you accept it, what do I get?
If I accept it, I have to accept it. Right. We'll give you Lou Malnati's, my friend. $25 to Lou Malnati's.
You live in Sterling, Rock Falls, Dixon?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Mark on the mic.
Mark on the mic. Alan, that was a great effort, but I don't know if we're... Heidemann, what do you think?
Well, my name is Mike, so I don't know how I feel about Mark being on me.
Alan,
I like where his head was.
Alan, good effort. Where do you live at, Alan?
Actually, Rock Falls. I'm a Sterling boy, though.
Okay.
It really rings good to me. I don't know. It's up to you. But,
all right, Mark. Thanks, Alan. Yeah. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Alan. Mark on the mic. It's not bad. It's not bad. Mark on the mic. Not bad. All right. Thank you, one and all. Des Clark will be coming up after the 11 o'clock news here. I think you're going to really enjoy the conversation with the former Chicago Bear tight end. So that is coming on up here, 720 WGN. 720 WGN. The Chicago Bears are in a crisis. 3-5, 4 losses in a row. As we bring in the former tight end, Des Clark. And Des, you've been in a locker room that's lost 4 in a row before. It can't be fun, right? What's your level of belief that the Bears can actually turn this around?
Well, it's definitely not fun when you are losing games. The pressure starts to build and, you know, you start looking at things a little differently. You start to question yourself and the only way to get out of it is going to get a victory. But, my belief level right now is dwindling by the week because you just don't see where the team is improving, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
How do you think, or why do you think, that Mitchell Trubisky has seemingly gotten worse?
Well, I answer this way. So I put out a poll question on one of my Facebook groups, and I said, who has the most blame for the offensive woes? And I put it, Ryan Pace, Nagy, offensive line, and Mitchell Trubisky. And by far, he had the least amount of votes.
Wow.
And I tend to agree somewhat with that. I think our offensive line hasn't played well. And I think when you have a quarterback like Mitch, first of all, you need a steady run game. Especially when you have a quarterback that's young, that's inexperienced, that's trying to find his way and trying to gain confidence. When things are not going right, you can always turn to the run game. We really can't do that here in Chicago, not just yet. We have at times, but it's not been consistent enough. And I believe that hampers the quarterback play also because you got to find offense somewhere to get confidence. Now, saying that, he shares in his amount of the blame for the offensive woes because he's just not good right now. And I know the last time I was on with you, I was talking about having patience, and I was talking about he still could come around. But after a few weeks, I'm starting to question myself as I question him and ask the question, is he the guy that's going to flip that switch and become our franchise quarterback? I don't know right now. And I'm almost leaning towards the I don't think so more than I think so.
You're the one guy that I'm hearing right now, at least, Des, that is holding out at least some hope that he could be. Des Clark, by the way, former Chicago Bear tight end, the number 2 all-time receiver at the position with us here on 720 WGN. The news today, Des, is that Mitch wants all the TVs turned off at Halas Hall because people are talking bad about the Bears, and he just wants to sort of get in that bunker, and people don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what's going on inside. Let's not get distracted. I'm almost thinking, turn those TVs up. Get motivated by people talking bad about you. Use it, you know, as fire to, you know, get you blazing on a level that you haven't been. Yeah, I don't know if you can hide from it, I guess, overall is my point.
And the thing about his comments is, why are you making comments about these things anyway? Why are you making comments about, you know, checking on your body language and making comments about turning the TV off and this and that? Does any of that really matter, or does it matter how you're playing the game? Like, that's the only thing you need to be focused on. Like, let people talk. They're going to talk. If you're doing good or doing bad, you're going to have your detractors. Any way you go, you're going to have your detractors. So let people talk, man, and go out. And you know how you turn the TVs off or change the conversation? You play better. And nope. That's all that it comes down to. And not just him, the entire team, and especially the offensive side of the ball and starting with that offensive line and going back to the quarterback, they have to play better. And then you could, and then you'll be happy to watch the TV when everybody's patting you on your back saying how wonderful you are.
Yeah, and look, to be in that position, be a professional athlete, period, you got to have thick skin. If you don't, it ain't going to be easy. There's a, you know, there's a guy over in Cleveland right now who kind of acts like he has thick skin, but seems like it's getting to him too. Or maybe he's just not that talented. I'm talking about Baker Mayfield. But with Mitch, dude, if you need to turn the TV off and not look at it or whatever, that's fine. Sometimes I don't look at the text line when they're screaming at me. But but then I also feel like if I can't look at the text line, then I shouldn't be a radio host. That's the whole point. You want reaction, and not, that's not, it's different for him, but you want to be the quarterback. You want to be the guy. If you play bad, they're right. going to talk about you. It comes with the territory.
That's just part of the game, and more so with his position, like you just said, that's going to come with it. I mean, you can't, you know, want all the attention and the glory and have people talking about how good you're playing when you're playing good if you can't handle the flip side of that. That's just part of the position when you play quarterback. There's no other two ways around it. And once you start talking about it, you know it's in your head. And right now, it's in his head. And I've been thinking this for the last few weeks. He just needs to get out of his head and just play the game. I believe that the pressure of the expectations for this team to take that next step, and a lot of those expectations were, hey, if the quarterback takes the next step, this is a Super Bowl team. And I think right now that pressure is stifling his growth, because I don't know if he knows how to handle that right now. When you look at how he's playing, it just looks like he's playing tight and not having fun. And it's just a different type of look. Like you said, he has to check his body language. All of that stuff, it tells me that he's feeling the pressure and he doesn't know how to deal with it right now.
I want to take a left turn here and just have a separate conversation, because your poll said that it wasn't on him. Who was the number one guy?
The number one guy, when I last looked, they blamed it more on the offensive line than anybody.
Okay.
I think number two was Nagy, and number three was Ryan Pace.
Okay, so I want to go to Ryan Pace and a bunch of other general managers in the league. So the year that Mitch Trubisky came out, you had Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes. And now there's a guy that's playing quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens right now who just beat the New England Patriots and is having an MVP caliber season, and his name is Lamar Jackson. Now, in that year, you had Baker Mayfield was picked number one overall. Sam Darnold was picked number three overall. I think you might know where I'm going with this, Dez. Josh Allen went number seven overall. Josh Rosen went number 10 overall. And you got to go down all the way to number 32. And that's where Lamar Jackson, who's African-American, was drafted. Every other player in that draft was white, Caucasian. Now, people don't want to have this conversation, but I just want to have it right now, because it's something that, and I'm not even blaming anybody, but I think people have their biases, and maybe they're not even aware of it. But there's no way that you could line up the resumes in that draft class. Lamar Jackson was a ridiculous player in college, all right? And there's no, and so was Deshaun Watson, and so was Patrick Mahomes. And they picked Trubisky, and they picked all the other quarterbacks that I named above him. And I just really think there's a lesson in here to general managers and coaches all around the league, apparently drafting people that they will be, quote-unquote, more comfortable with, both in their style of play and whatever else is going on. And you're paying the price. That's what I see. If you're a great coach, like everyone's talking about Nagy's system, if you're a great coach, man, you take the talent that is there and you get the best out of it. They don't have to fit into a little bit of a box. That's a separate point. But why don't you respond to what I was saying on the first part?
People still have that thought process about, hey, white quarterback, black quarterback. Even when you have a Caucasian quarterback that's you know, a little bit more of an athlete at the position, they are not looked at like a black quarterback where it's, hey, this guy can make plays on his feet first and primary, and then he can throw the ball secondary. And in today's game, you think of a quarterback as someone who could drop back and throw the ball and make all their throws on the field. So, and if you go beyond that, if you want to get deeper into the race thing, you know, I heard an interview, I think it was with Trent Dilfer, and he was talking about how Pace fell in love with the person. Well, when you look at most of the GMs, I believe all of the GMs besides one, maybe two are Caucasian. You typically like things that are similar to you. So when you think about the quarterback, somebody who's going to be your leader and somebody who's going to be the face of the organization, you want somebody who acts like you, look like you, probably think like you. So when you put all of those things together with how the NFL looks at a quarterback and then how the general managers, they're going out and they're scouting and they're having these conversations with quarterbacks and who they're going to pick, they're going to pick the people that they, like you say, feel comfortable. But why do they feel more comfortable with them? And it's only human nature that you feel more comfortable with people that look like, think like, act like you do. So I think there, and like you said, it's a bias there, and it may be an unconscious bias. Who knows? It may be a conscious bias. But those are just human nature things. And, yeah, should we look at those? When you look at the stats and you look at everything that you just brought up from the draft class, when Trubisky was taking number two and the other guys were taking lower, and you look at the draft class from last year where, you know, the African-American quarterback is playing better than, what, four or five Caucasian quarterbacks, it may be something to that.
Yeah, and look, I can feel people getting, it's not about race. It's not. From my perspective here, this is not about saying anything necessarily bad about anyone. I just want to point it out that, you know, listen, it's not just, yeah, this is the world.
You're not saying that nobody's racist.
I'm just saying people have their bias.
They're doing this on purpose. Those things that, hey, if you ask a white guy how many white friends you have compared to black friends, they're going to have more, the majority, the overwhelming majority of people are going to have more friends that is of their same color than not.
Exactly.
That's just where it is, because you tend to congregate with people that act like you, think like you, look like you.
Right. Tall people hang out with tall people. Black people hang out with black people. Latinos hang out with, it's just, that's how it is. And that's not saying it's right or wrong or whatever. But if you're a general manager of a football team, you better be aware of what's going on inside of you and not let that get in the way of making the best decision. And I'm not saying that was the only thing that was in the way of making the best decision, but clearly the Bears made the wrong decision with Mitchell Trubisky. That's not up for debate anymore at this point. It's just not. I'm a little disappointed before you go here, Des. We'll just shift it back to the field. Khalil Mack has been, I don't know if silence is the right word, but has not had the same.
Awfully quiet.
Yeah, it just has not had the same impact, and it's like, oh my God. Well, maybe we weren't giving Akiem Hicks enough credit here, blowing up the middle every damn play, and creating an opportunity for Khalil to really shine, because they clearly they missed that man in the middle without a doubt.
Oh, absolutely. When you get pressure from straight up the middle, that's the most direct path to the quarterback. So without Akiem Hicks there, of course, it's going to take away from the rest of that defensive line, because this dude just created chaos when he was in there. He didn't get as many sacks, but he was just as disruptive as Khalil Mack coming from around the end. There's no question about that. Now, I'm not trying to say one is better than the other, but I'm just saying that Akiem Hicks caused as much disruption on that offensive line, on offensive linemen, as Khalil Mack did. Probably didn't have the sacks, but he had just as big of an impact.
Yeah. It's no bueno right now for the Chicago Bears, but we'll see what they do against Detroit on Sunday. Dez, always awesome to talk to you, man. Let's do it again next week. And I know you got a second book coming out here, do you not?
I do. So got started writing on second book. The name of it will be Principles of Winning. If people ever heard me talk around Chicago, I've always spoken on principles of winning, and now I'm turning that into a book, and looking to get that out there and just help motivate the masses. And one thing that I always like to do is encourage people to pursue excellence and be at the top of their game.
It's awesome. So hold on a second. You should be following Dez Clark on Facebook, on LinkedIn. Where else do you get your social media on?
A little bit on Twitter, and then also on Instagram.
Okay. Well, you're putting out great stuff. I mean, I'm laying in bed late at night, and then you pop up on my feed, and it's like, y'all thought it was going to be easy, but it's not. Get out there and work. I'm like, okay, fine. Okay, fine, Dez. You're right. You're absolutely right. You gotta get, you want something, you better get into that grind, because they're not handing out anything to anyone ever. Wake up, Carmen.
Hey, you better... You better love the grind, because hey, if you don't love the grind, guess what? That pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, it ain't just gonna be sitting here for you to come take it.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to grind it out for you to get it.
Yeah, you're gonna be the rat on the cage spinning forever. You better get that grind on. All right.
Yes, sir.
I look forward to the book, man, and congrats on it, and thanks for being on tonight, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks to my guy Dez Clark. Number 2 all-time leading receiver in Chicago Bears history, Bears and the Lions. Coming up noon kickoff at Soldier Field on Sunday. 312-981-7200. Would anybody like to admit, perhaps, to some of their biases? We can do it on the text line. It can be super anonymous. Or you can call in with it. Michael Hyden, what did you think of that conversation?
I thought it was great. It's cool to hear what he's up to. I love hearing what all my the Bears players that I grew up watching are up to these days. And I mainly enjoyed the motivation at the end that you were talking about that he provided. And a very controversial topic. It's kind of interesting to see what is going on when people are actually engaged in it in the locker room. So, yeah, good interview.
Yeah, I'll play a little piece of sound from my guy Nick Wright, who does work over at on the show First Things First on Fox Sports 1, which details exactly what I'm getting at with how NFL general managers tend to think about the quarterback position and certain biases that are going on. And it's not to point a finger at anyone and say you're bad, but it's to shine a light on, hey, you're thinking about things this way. Perhaps if you broaden your spectrum a little bit, it would benefit you, your football club, your family, because you'll have more job security and you will make more money and you'll have more fun. But you will be leaping out of that comfort zone.
I think the kids call that staying woke.
Staying woke. Mm-hmm. There's a phrase. Good one there. Absolutely. Staying woke is a good thing. So we'll play that coming up after 11:30. And also, my father wants to join the show tonight. So I got to see if people want to hear from my dad. We'll talk about that coming up after the news, which is coming up in 2 minutes and 30 seconds, as we'll get you updated. Vic Vaughn will have that for you. Get Real in the Morning with Larry Podesch, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV Morning News Team, weekdays 4 until 10. News coming up on 720 WGN. Trying something new tonight on the show. Midnight. Cooking with Carm. How do you cook on the radio? No, you don't. We're going to chat about it, though. See how it goes. Cooking with Carm. Sort of inspired by the conversation we had earlier tonight about rebranding the On the Mark podcast. Thank you so much for your text on that one. 847 texting and marking territory. That, I do feel like I might come back in another life as a dog. It's always possible. We were talking about biases. There's a great text from 312. I went to the University of Minnesota in the 70s when Tony Dungy was the Gophers quarterback. This after setting high school records as a quarterback in the state of Michigan. I believe Tony Dungy grew up in Jackson, Michigan. After all of this, he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is that right? Because I think he was undrafted, but okay. As a defensive back is the point, though. What a waste of a talented man. And we know that in the NFL and college football for a long time, it's a zillion times better now, but they did not think that black people were smart enough to play quarterback. Just didn't think so. That bias was real, and it was overt. Different now, but you still look at the way the drafts go, especially the Mitchell Trubisky draft and the Lamar Jackson draft, and you just see it still out there. Speaking of that, let me play you what my guy Nick Wright had to say about this. And Nick's a very smart guy, very learned, very woke. So this was his take on the biases that you see in the NFL world.
Yeah, with the last quarterback taken, despite having the best collegiate resume other than Baker, and he and Baker you could have put head-to-head. They both won a Heisman. They both were prolific passers. And I say that intentionally. Lamar was a prolific passer in college, not just runner. Now, obviously, he was a spectacular runner, but he wasn't Mike Vick the year that he was in the Heisman discussion where he was almost exclusively a runner. He could do it all. And so why did they miss on Lamar? Well, I don't know. Why did Locker and Gabbard and Ponder go ahead of Cap? And I know Cap is a dirty word these days, but he was a great quarterback for a period of time in this league. Why did Osweiler and Whedon and Tannehill go over Russell Wilson? Why did Blake Bortles go over all the quarterbacks he went ahead of? Why did Mitch Trubisky go ahead of Deshaun Watson? And the answer to that question, why did Josh Allen and Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold go ahead of Lamar Jackson? And the answer is a lot of things. One is, coaches are more comfortable sticking with their style than diversifying what they do. I don't know if Baltimore trades up to get him if they don't have Greg Roman there, the man who built the offense around Colin Kaepernick when Cap was so successful. I think additionally, there is a prototype quarterback that has to do with height, that has to do with arm talent, that occasionally for some has to do with race. And Lamar obviously doesn't check any of those boxes. And there was one other thing that happened in the lead up with the discussion about Lamar. This is why when I say it's nuanced, people would talk about his inability to effectively communicate. Mm. And I would wonder, to whom is he supposed to communicate? Because I don't think anyone has ever had a hard time understanding Lamar Jackson in the huddle. But that doesn't mean he's a great interview. That doesn't mean that when he's sitting down with executives, he can communicate coming out of Louisville as effectively as Daniel Jones could this year coming out of North Carolina, maybe in more comfortable situations for Daniel than Lamar, given his, not, I don't even say upbringing, but just given who he has talked to and the circumstances in which he's been in his whole life.
Yep.
So all those reasons to me made it to where he was considered the risky pick as opposed to put on the tape. You think that guy can make plays in the NFL? Because I do. And all those things worked against him, which is why the Ravens were able to steal him with the 32nd pick of the draft.
See, I just think it's a very interesting conversation about what goes on and how we make our decisions in life. Especially, and it's a little, I'm putting it under the sports microscope, if you will, in the NFL draft, and I know probably a bunch of you don't know a lot of the names he just said there, but it just feels important to me, so I wanted to bring it to the airwaves tonight, and remind myself, by the way, make decisions with an open mind, period, end of story. People are texting about, like, when's the wedding, which is coming up. Somehow I feel like that applies to the wedding. We were fighting it around today on like a zillion different things. What song should we dance to? And we've talked about that on the show. But like I have one song that I really want to dance to. She does not. She has songs that she knows that she feels more comfortable with. And it's like even to open yourself up to like a new song and like learning it, you know what you're comfortable with. You're a musician, Michael Heideman. Doesn't that make sense to you? Like you don't even want to open yourself up to learning new things because you like to listen to the ones that you know. You like doing things that you feel comfortable with.
Exactly. Why do you think there's so many fights in the car over the radio station? People don't want to hear other people's choices. I mean, it's just when you live in your own bubble, it's
and we all do.
We all do.
We all do.
Mm-hmm. It's a very egocentric way of thinking, but everyone does it. And you like it's that thing when you go home from work and you're like, oh, what did this person think about me? Or you're leaving from school. Oh no, Johnny said this to me on the playground. Johnny isn't thinking about that. And when he's at his house, he's thinking about Johnny. You got to understand, like a lot of people are just in their own world, and it's hard to open your mind, like you said.
Well, and speaking of sort of being slightly in your own world, I love my father. I love him dearly. He's one of my favorite people in the history of the planet, damn it. And he's a tremendous American, you know, served in World War II, all of that. But he calls me up, and he's like, Mark, I want to read the Mueller report on your show. I'm like, what do you want to do?
Timely.
You want to read the Mueller report on the program. Now, so I would just like to ask the question at 312-981-7200. Would you like to hear my 93-year-old father? I guess the age shouldn't matter, but just for those who don't know, you know, would you like to hear him read the first page of the Mueller report and give his opinion on what was written? Now, he's a attorney, DePaul Law School, had some pedigree here, so he's able to perhaps interpret a document and what's written and what is being said from a legal standpoint better than certainly myself. So there's that. But, you know, I don't know. He wants to read the Mueller report. I'm like, oh, I don't know, Dad. I don't know if that's good radio. People might not want to hear you read the Mueller report. You know what I'm saying?
Has he been sitting on this for a while now?
I don't know. He called me up. He was very passionate about it. He wants to read the Mueller report. I'm like, okay. So, well, why do you want to do that? Well, I think it's very important. Well, why do you think it's important? Because it is.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Big part of history.
Big part of history. Patricia's texting and definitely wants to hear my dad. I'm a little nervous about it, I'll be honest with you. But we can do it. All right. So let's. I'm not getting any opposition here. And I'm getting a couple texts coming in here saying yes.
I'm a very strong yes.
You're a very strong yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, here let's take a quick time out. We'll come on back here and we'll get Papa Fred on the line. 720 WGN. All right. 720 WGN. As promised, my father wanted to call in tonight. Dad, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm okay.
Now, you called me up this week. You had an agenda. What are we going to do right now?
I think it's important for the people, your listeners, to know about what the Mueller report provided.
Okay.
Because of all the misinformation.
Okay.
And so I thought what I would do is to just read you the opening portion. There's no question about Mueller's conclusion that the Russians interfered with the 2016 election.
Uh-huh.
So I thought I would read you a part of the opening portion, what he says.
Okay, this is Fred Carman, my father, 93 years old, on 720 WGN, reading you the Mueller report. Dad, go ahead.
The opening paragraphs, the Russian government interfered in the 2016 presidential election in sweeping and systematic fashion. There's no question about what his conclusion is. Evidence of Russian government operations began to surface in mid-2016. In June, the Democratic National Committee and its cyber response team publicly announced that Russian hackers had compromised its computer network. Releases of hacked materials, hacks that public reporting soon attributed to the Russian government, began that same month. Additional releases followed in July through the organization WikiLeaks, with further releases in October and November. I'm not going to continue on. I just wanted to make it clear to everybody who has any concern about what the facts are, is that the Mueller conclusively determined that Russia had interfered. In my view, you know, we have a situation in the United States. We have this electoral college, so it's possible for a president to be elected even though he has a minority of the votes. And in the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton had 1 or 2 or 3 million more votes than Trump. However, he was elected because of the Electoral College. It's no question in my mind that if the public had been aware of the fact that the Russians were hacking, and if they also had been aware of the fact that he had paid off this Stormy Daniels and this other gal hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep quiet about their sexual affairs with him, if that information had been public, then I'm sure that Hillary Clinton would have even had a much, much larger margin and would have been elected. Trump denies this Russian interference. I want to make it clear that that Mueller conclusively determined that there was that interference. That's all.
No, you're good, Dad. I appreciate it. Now, the Stormy Daniels, if memory serves, was already out there. I just don't think people ever cared about that. But
no, I know they didn't. They didn't know that before the election.
Okay,
came out after the election.
Well,
he had them sign written agreements to keep quiet, and he gave them thousands of dollars to do so. And nobody, that was not known until afterwards. Yeah,
I still don't think people really care. They vote with their wallet, Freddie.
Well, maybe so. You can. I would think that if the public had been aware of the Russian hacking and also of these payoffs to keep these girls quiet, that it would have reduced Trump's vote, increased Hillary's, and that she would have won the election.
But you can't go back and do it again, right, Dad?
That's right. Okay.
You've taught me. Okay, you're leaving? Okay.
I'm leaving.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, boys.
Yeah,
all right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, there he goes. There we go. Papa Fred reading the Mueller report on 720 WGN. Do we learn anything? He called me up, and I'm like, Dad, I don't think you're going to change anyone's mind about anything. That's sort of like my take on the whole political climate we're living in. People are pretty dug in nowadays, but I can't deny my dad that at 93 the opportunity to read the Mueller report. Man fought in World War II, wants to read the Mueller report. Marilyn texting in, thanks Papa Fred. You're absolutely welcome, Marilyn. He's happy to do it. Jim, you agree with Papa Fred?
Yes, he's one smart man. I give him a lot of credit for his age. He really knows what's going on in this world, and he's got a good son too. So I'm really proud of your dad. He's very intelligent.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, okay,
I appreciate it. 312-981-7200. I do greatly love my father and his passion. He's one of the most challenging men you will ever meet to possibly get him to change his mind on anything. Not saying I'm disagreeing with anything he just said, but, you know, as if you listen to the show, I was trying to get him to get a new suit because I'm getting married. What do I need a new suit for? I have a suit. Well, Daddy, you know, I'm getting married. Nah, I don't need a new suit. I got my suit. When's the last time you wore the suit? What's the difference? Doesn't matter. It fits. I got a suit. You don't need to buy a suit. Why would I waste money buying a suit? Well, again, Dad, because Mark, I don't need a suit. I don't. Okay. He's not getting a new suit. It's the way it is. I think I speak for many of us when I say we are looking forward to his toast at your wedding reception. Yes, indeed, 312.
I picture him just giving the toast and then just slugging back his drink and then just leaving the wedding altogether and just saying, that sound effect is so good.
Well, when he's done, there's mm-hmm. the average time that I'm on the phone with my dad is probably 72 seconds. How are you? Anything new? Anything special going on? Nothing's the same, man. Working hard, Dad. Oh, okay, talk to you. I mean, that's pretty basic. Are you coming for breakfast? Yes, I'll be there for breakfast. Okay, bye.
He's a man of conviction. He knows what he wants. He knows what he loves. And then he just is out of the story.
And hey, look, you look at, I mean, how old's Bernie? What, 78?
Yeah, probably around there, nearing 80.
How old is Biden? He's 80. These dudes are running for president. Most stressful job in the world. You're 80 years old, and that's what you want to do? God bless you. Seriously. Way to keep going. No retirement, man. Let's see here. 219, your dad is very well spoken. He is. Podcast name, Fred's Kid Mark. That is funny. 773, and a great suggestion. That's good. Patricia, thank you for supporting the Papa Fred call. Let me get my guy Kenny in here. What's up, Kenny?
Well, I just wanted to commend you for having your father on, because I've known him for a little bit and of time, and he speaks very well, and I happen to agree with him, and I'm glad that you had him on. Oh. So, you know, he's very well spoken. He's a very learned man, and I'm sure he'll do great at your wedding, too. And if he doesn't want to buy a new suit, hey, you know, I mean, you can't convince a 93-year-old. You know, believe me, I had experience with my father.
Kenny, I know that you, as I do know you fairly well, you're definitely going to support somebody not getting a new suit. I think I don't think anyone's ever called you Mr. Fashion, Ken Tarnoff.
That's for sure.
Thanks, Ken.
I don't think anyone ever will, but
that's okay.
If Mr. Carmen, you know, doesn't want to get himself a new suit, hey, listen,
right.
just roll with it,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I'm glad you had him on. He deserves it.
Hey, he absolutely does, and there was no doubt he was coming on. Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get the news coming up here. Becky, hang in there. I'll get you after midnight as we'll have the conversation, and we'll play the new game in the kit. What do we call it?
Cooking with Carm?
Cooking with Carm, right. 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 1205. Welcome to your Thursday. Mark Carmen with you for another 55 or so minutes. Nick D coming up, ready to rock and roll at 1 o'clock. Michael Heidemann producing. Adam Phillips wandering the halls in engineering. Doing amazing work. Getting ready for a Northwestern Wildcats win this weekend. Damn it. Take out the Boilermakers. We're going to play Cooking with Carm in 4 minutes. Michael Heidemann has an open for it. We're playing for Lou Malnati's. I need contestants. 312-981-7200. Now, we're not actually going to cook anything. But we're going to find out what you cooked or did not cook today. And our winner will get Lou Malnati's. What you cooked or did not cook. And you could win by being the most pathetic eater of the day or the most incredible cooking Julia Childs type. So that's but you're going to have to share on your meals of the day. It's a first-time venture here. It might be a dud, but it could be just amazing. We'll see what happens. Cooking with Carmen, 312-981-7200, playing for Lou Malnati's. Becky, real fast, go ahead. I know you wanted to talk about Papa Fred and some Hillary Clinton. Go ahead.
Well, let's put it this way. My dad was born in 1912.
Okay.
His whole life was Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. He'd be turning in his grave right now if he knew what was going on. And I never voted, neither did my mother. Though I watched enough news. I was busy raising kids and working. And I watched enough news when I was, you know, going through life. But I knew in my heart of hearts with Hillary and that foundation, that was the crookedest thing, because they said at one time she had only paid out 15% for charity. Uh-huh. And the rest, she bought a house for her daughter, paid for her Harvard education, and she also paid for her wedding out of it. So, and then whenever Bill made a speech, the money went into it, see, tax-free. But anyhow, I never voted. But when it came time for them two to come up, I was not about to watch Bill run around the White House with his tongue hanging out looking for another intern. They're disgusting, the both of them are. So when it came down to it, I decided this time I was going to vote. So I went and I signed up, and I would have voted for a monkey if I had a choice between Hillary and it. I would never have voted for that woman, and I would never vote for her now, because I don't know how either her or Brills can sleep at night because they're both so crooked.
Okay, Becky, I got you. I got you. All right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
You got it. No problem. Hope you feel better and got it off your chest. There you go. Hey, that sentiment right there is very much why, even though she did win the popular vote, for the record, she did not win the election because people didn't like her. She was a terrible candidate. And, yeah, all that is true. All right, 312-981-7200 for Cooking with Carm. Let me hear the open, Michael Heidemann.
Time to find out what's in that oven, because it's Cooking with Carm.
All right, just for the record here, I came up with Cooking with Carm during the show tonight, because I was having so much fun talking with you about your day. I'm like, you know what? We try Cooking with Carm, because I like to get to know you. And then look at that. Michael Heidemann turning around and open. Thanks, man.
Hey, we are anything but professional here.
Was that Tom Hush? It sounded like Tom Hush. Was that you?
That was, in fact, me.
That was
yes,
you.
Yes. I wish...
Did you do some reverb on that?
Or well, Tom Hush is too expensive. I tried to get him. Yeah, little reverb, little pitch bender.
All right.
Hey, I'm a master.
Now, listen, I know it's late at night here, team. And I know that it's a new game. But we need some support here. 312-981-7200. Be the first contestant for Cooking with Carm. And you could win a gift certificate to Lou Malnati's Pizza. I mean, what more could you want at 12:10 on a beautiful Thursday evening? We're not actually going to cook. We're just going to chat about your cuisine for the day. And me and Michael Heidemann are going to make a decision whether or not you are worthy of winning Cooking with Carm. Now, this is text line is good, but phone lines are better. 312-981-7200. I could try it out with you here, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
What did you have for dinner tonight, Michael Heidemann?
I've been waiting for this game all day.
I bet you have.
Today was really hungry, and I actually went grocery shopping specifically for the meal that I made tonight. For Cooking with Carm.
Right.
Exactly. And I'm very excited to say that tonight I had some great country vegetable soup.
Country vegetable soup.
Mm-hmm.
Brand name, please.
Yes, it was Campbell's. I love Campbell's soup.
Campbell's country vegetable, mm-hmm. Okay.
With the side of a full-on baked quesadilla cheese.
With a baked quesadilla.
Ooh, like, so good.
See, now right there, you're a contestant for Cooking with Carm, just like that. Campbell's country vegetable, and then you went with the quesadilla, which is similar to a grilled cheese, right? So we're really, it's almost a grilled cheese and tomato soup that Michael Heidemann went with tonight, but he went with the garden vegetable, slightly healthier accoutrement, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and then the quesadilla, which doesn't have as much bread as your grilled cheese. So it was really just a healthier, more life-friendly option that you chose tonight.
Yeah, it was really good. I love tomato and grilled cheese, by the way. That's my ultimate comfort food.
There you go, right? And so you made yourself a little comfort food tonight, mm-hmm. as you got ready to come to WGN and work with Cooking with Carm. Let me see. 312-981-7200. All we got to do is just, we're going to talk through your meals tonight, see how you did it, and then we're going to decide a winner. Carol, welcome to WGN, Cooking with Carm. You're the first ever contestant, Carol, in Cooking with Carm. What do you think?
Oh, I'm excited. I'm a senior, and I listen to you constantly every night. And the lights just were turned out, and when I heard the cooking, I said, I've got to call Carm. This is what I did. I didn't know what to eat. I didn't make a big deal. So I opened the refrigerator. I found some broccoli, and I picked it off and took all these pieces, put it in a big frying pan with virgin Italian olive oil. And as that was simmering and browning and crusting, I then cut up a piece of garlic in tiny pieces, threw that in there on top of that while I was boiling some angel hair pasta. And then when everything was done, I put the pasta in the bowl first. I then put my broccoli and my oil and garlic from the frying pan on top of my pasta, sprinkled the top with pecorino romano that I buy at Minelli's, and then I cut up, I found a jar, a little bit left of calamari olives. I cut them in half, a few, and sprinkled that on top, and I felt like I was at Mangiano's.
Wow. This is an incredible performance by Carol.
Thank you.
The broccoli, the garlic, the pasta, the calamari,
the olive oil,
all of it. This is Carol. Now, do you live by yourself, or are you with some assistant?
No, I lived in the city, but I had to move in with my daughter in Glenview.
Okay.
2 years ago because of my health. Oh. And I mean, I walk and do stuff, but I just needed, you know, a little help. So she's out of town, and I was just so, that's what I did. And I just heard you, and I thought, maybe they like that little Italian thing. I made it up out of my head. I didn't have a cookbook.
you're a tremendous contestant. Just hang on. I love your effort, and let's just see what else we got here. That was a strong, strong start by Carol. Hang on a second. Hey, Carol, how old are you, by the way? I'm in ages tonight. How old are you?
Oh, okay. I'm 83.
83 years old, cooking yourself dinner. That's phenomenal. Carol, I'm coming over tomorrow. That was delicious. All right, hang on. Let me get Dash in here. Dash, welcome to Cooking with Carm on 720 WGN. How are you?
Fine. How are you guys?
We are excellent. Dash, you sound serious, Dash. I'm believing in you.
Yeah, well, I had a Brian Rupp. Just because I don't get to eat a lot of steak because my wife does not eat it, but my oldest boy decided he wanted to have some steak, and I used it as an excuse to go get some.
Uh-huh. Well, now, where did you... hold on, Dash. Where did you purchase this prime rib?
I got it at Butera, actually.
Okay. Don't know Butera. Sounds lovely. Okay, so you bought the prime rib. How did you pick it out there, Dash? What were you looking for?
I was looking for a lot of red and not very much fat on it.
Okay.
But you need to have some of it around the edges because it's got to cook.
Right, we need a little marbleization, crystallization situation. I got it. All right.
You're better with the words than I am, yes.
That's debatable there, Dash, but we're all trying in life. And then what'd you do with this prime rib?
I threw it in a toaster oven because our toaster oven gets really hot, and I like to have it in that really small space. Uh-huh. And I like to, and I'm nosy. I like to be able to watch it cook, and I like to hear it sizzle.
So you get enjoyment watching your meat get ready to play. I get it. Okay.
Well, you don't want it to get too done because, you know, prime rib's an expensive cut of meat.
No doubt.
And if it's well done, you might as well just have a hamburger from McDonald's. So,
exactly right. I might get one of those on my way home tonight. Sounds delicious.
And they're fine, but, you know, not when you buy a prime rib. Right.
No, I'm
so
with
I
you.
I got that. And then in our regular oven, I did baked potatoes.
Ooh. So we had the standard steak and potato look here. What kind of potato did you do again?
Twice baked.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Dash, you're not
my favorite.
Right, you're not playing here, Dash. So we had a twice baked potato. We had a prime rib in the toaster oven, and you were sitting down with your son. Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. We got Carol with the broccoli garlic pasta, and the Minelli's and the Kalamata olives and the olive oil. Now we got Dash going straight old school prime rib in the toaster oven. With some twice-baked potatoes. All right, hang on, Dash. You're in the game here.
Sure.
Cooking with Carm, 312-981-7200. Text line, this is where you come in. Are you voting for Carol or are you voting for Dash to the winner, the first winner in the inaugural Cooking with Carm? I'm going to tally up the votes here. But let me get Susan in here. We can do a couple more contestants. Susan, Welcome
to I vote for Carol.
Susan, you're a contestant. Don't give it up yet. You're in here too. What did you do tonight, Susan?
I went to a catered event.
Okay.
And I had stuffed peppers, and they had black bean soup and cornbread and salad and toppings for all that, like sour cream and salsa.
Uh-huh.
But the highlight of this was one woman made all the pastries, and there was this phenomenal cake, and everybody kept asking her about it, and she said it was just crushed cookies and whipped cream, and then she put some different toppings on it. So that was a good takeaway there.
Uh-huh. So what was your favorite part of the meal, Susan?
The dessert.
And who are you at this event with?
Lifeline Theater.
Lifeline Theater, okay. And did you go with anyone?
No, actually, I work for them, so I was volunteering. But it was sold out, so we had about 100 people there.
Okay, 100 people. Did you wear...
And it was catered by Urban Table.
Urban Table, okay. Did you wear a fancy dress?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And did you have a date for this event, Susan?
No, I was volunteering. It's tough to do that when you volunteer.
Okay, so you were giving up your time. You put on the fancy outfit. You had some stuffed peppers. You had a salad. You loved the dessert, Susan. This is you contributed to life here. So this is important here. What's Lifeline Theater all about? What are you guys trying to get done over there?
Well, tonight they had a concert reading of Strong Poison. It's part of a Dorothy Sears series. But our whole thing is we do adaptations that are based on books.
Okay.
So we do 3 kids shows, and then we do 3 main stage shows throughout the year.
This is awesome. This is now you get now people are getting experience and they're giving back. Susan, I like this. All right, you're in here. Okay, hang on. All right.
Okay.
All right. So we got Carol. Again, with the broccoli and the garlic and the pasta and the Kalamata olives. She's 83. And then we got our guy Dash with his prime rib in the toaster oven with the twice baked.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got Susan at a fundraiser eating salad and loving dessert and crushing a stuffed pepper, cooking with Carm, sweeping the nation right here. We got 2 more. Let me get Caroline in here. What's up, Caroline? Welcome to Cooking with Carm on 720 WGN. What do you got? Caroline? You had candy corn tonight?
Yes, it was delicious.
Oh my God!
It was fresh, like, straight out of the bag, and I actually had the variety. We threw some pumpkins in and some Indian corn, and it was like.
Now, did you have anything else, Caroline, other than candy corn for your dinner?
Yes, I had craft caramel with it.
Uh-huh. Do you like, Caroline, do you like sugar?
Well, yeah, I think I do.
I thought this was some kind of new diet where you just eat all sugar.
Who did you have
it's the anti-keto diet.
Mm. There we go. Okay, so we got the anti-keto diet here.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now, who did you have this candy corn with, Caroline?
Well, I guess
I'm sorry, excuse me?
By myself.
Oh, by yourself. There's nothing wrong. Hey, listen. Yeah. Nothing wrong with a nice solo night with a candy corn. I respect it. Did you were you watching TV? Were you listening to WGN? What were you doing?
Both of those.
We had a combo action, so you were multitasking with the candy corn. Did any of the candy corn fall on the floor?
It did, but I did pick it up and I did throw it away. So
Oh, 5-second rule, though.
Yeah, what about the 5-second rule here, Caroline?
Well, I like my candy corn like right out of the bag.
Right out of the bag. So, right out of the bag.
You know, when it comes to candy corn, it's got to be fresh.
Okay.
Like, right out of the bag.
Yeah, yeah.
Only fresh.
And where did you get this candy corn?
From the Jewel.
The Jewel candy corn. Mm-hmm. It's a good candy corn.
The Jewel
candy.
But you can only have brock.
No. Okay. All right, Caroline. Hang on a second. You might have the most creativity even in your basic candy corn maneuvers here. I like it. So hang on. All right. So now we got Carol and Dash and Susan and Caroline. Jim is our last contestant, and it says potato. Jim, you had a potato?
Hi, Carm. I did a twice baked potato.
A twice baked?
It had sour cream and cheese and green onions all baked in. After I baked the potato first and I scooped it out, and then I mixed up the insides of the potatoes with the cheese, the green onion, and the sour cream, and then rebaked it again.
How long is the rebake process?
To bake the potatoes to begin with take about an hour, and then once you mix up everything, it's just enough to heat up, reheat everything. Probably about 20 minutes to get the rebaked potato, the stuffed potato, hot again.
So that's a.
Then I also made some roasted butternut squash.
Oh my God, Jim! Oh, so we had the. How'd you do that? How'd you do the squash? How'd you know? I don't. That's over my pay grade here, Jim. I don't think I could make a roasted butternut squash.
It's pretty simple. You just cut them in half and scoop out the seeds and put them in a pan upside down, you know, facing down with a little bit of water, and cook them in the oven for like 45 minutes, and you've got roasted butternut squash.
It doesn't sound too difficult. Interesting.
It's pretty simple, and then you can add a little butter and sugar if you want to.
So you add some squash and a potato, and you took the full hour, and then you went for the extra 20 minutes. You could have just had the potato right there, but you were going for excellence, Jim. You wanted the whole deal, right? That's what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I like cooking, yes.
Were anybody with you tonight, Jim, or were you doing it by yourself?
I was doing it by myself.
Well, I love when people go for excellence just for them. You're not doing it to impress anyone, Jim. You were just doing it for you. Of course, it worked out that
I wanted to impress myself, my stomach.
Exactly right. And you didn't know that it was going to end up with, you know, all of a sudden you're on Cooking with Carm. I mean, look at how that thing comes full circle, right?
I could be famous, yeah.
Right. You are already, Jim. Come on.
Okay.
All right. Hang on a second here.
Okay.
All right. Let me take a look at the text line. Has anybody even voted on this? Got votes for Carol. We got a lot of votes for Carol. Let's see here. Cooking with Carm made an amazing breakfast for dinner. Okay, people are trying to win on the text line. That is illegal. Michael Heidemann, do you have a vote? Carol, Dash, Susan, Caroline, Jim. Of course, we know that everyone is a winner here on Cooking with Carm.
Oh, you know what? I got to kind of mull it over. I think maybe over break or something.
You need a break to mull it over?
I need a break to mull it over because there's so many good choices. I mean, the candy corn was kind of out of left field. Twice baked potato.
All right, I love everybody. I'm going to make the call here. Dash, you were sweet. I love you. Dash, great effort tonight. You're not the winner, but you were awesome, all right? Appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. Susan, way to give back. You were a stud, and you are a stud, and thank you so much for what you're doing out there, all right? Thank you. Susan, not going to say thank you back. All right, quick timeout. The winner is Carol. Carol was amazing. Carol.
Oh, my goodness.
Congratulations, Carol. You're the winner.
I can't believe it.
Hang on, Carol. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. I'm going to get some broccoli and pasta. 1234, 720 WGN. Mark Carmen with you until the top of the hour. Nick D., ready to get after it, as always. So, do we like Cooking with Carm? Is it a winner? How can we tweak it? How can we make it better? Let's have a production meeting on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Text line is open, too. 312-981-7200. Should we make Cooking with Carm a thing?
I thought it was a hit.
I'm looking for throw it out there, get the reviews.
It was getting me really hungry.
I feel starving now. Yeah.
What are you thinking of? I'm thinking of the butternut squash that keeps running through my mind with that twice baked potato, all mixed up. That's so good.
See, sometimes I drive over here, and sometimes I walk, and sometimes I Uber.
Mm-hmm.
When I drive, it's dangerous because when I go home after driving, then McDonald's is available.
Oh,
then
yeah.
I think Portillo's is probably closed by now, but maybe not. I drive by there; it's all the time open late. Those two are right next to each other on Ontario. Heading to the old drive.
How late is Popeye's open till? Because I still haven't tried that chicken sandwich that he was talking about.
I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
Jeez. Lines out the door still. A lot
of temptation here. Text line, Cooking with Carm. Let's see. Dun, dun, dun. Huge support for Cooking with Carm. Thank you very much. brilliance.
Well, that's all that really matters. Yeah. I mean, the listeners who called in, they made me like just mouth-wateringly hungry. So I think it was a hit. I think we should do it again one of these days.
Mm-hmm. Not in every night.
Not every night.
Right. But, you know, once in a special time. All right. One story that I wanted to hit before we get out of here tonight. And the headline is, Millennials will get sick and die faster than the previous generation. Now, isn't that uplifting? 12:36 at night. Here I am bringing up Millennials will get sick and die. Wednesday morning, was earlier today or earlier yesterday at this point. I guess we are on to Thursday. But Blue Cross Blue Shield published a 32-page report detailing the myriad of ways in which millennials will see their health decline and health care costs skyrocket over the next 10 years. In the report's intro, analysts from Moody Analytics write that examining, quote, millennial health patterns, they found, quote, several interesting and concerning findings. And, yeah, the report refers to two potential futures, a baseline projection, or what can be expected if we somehow manage to majorly correct the course of things, and the far scarier adverse projection, or what happens if things just continue bumbling along down the current path of doom and destruction. This piece was written by Vice. So they're, physically speaking, we're actually healthier than our predecessors, but statistically, it doesn't really matter. As we chug our Soylent spin away on our Pelotons, get 10,000 steps a day, and treat sugar like it's poison, we still manage to be depressed as hell, are soothing our woes with substances that could and will kill us, and have crippling anxiety. And to round it all out, analysts write that paying for these behavioral problems stresses us out even more, which contributes to us being less healthy. We're going the wrong direction, Heidemann.
That's interesting because ever since the whole diet fads and all the hand sanitizer all the time everywhere, don't touch me, you know, fist bump, that's all fine and dandy. But at the same time, people have been around for thousands of years rolling in the mud. And now we're like living in these bubbles. This is not going to help us in the long run. We're going to be like Howard Hughes sitting up in his room one of these days in Las Vegas.
I can't take it anymore.
Can't take it anymore.
The real juicy tidbits. Let me read this paragraph. Concern the potential causes of what analysts have identified as the millennial health shock, or the phenomenon they compare to the Vietnam War and the HIV/AIDS crisis. Analysts hypothesize that the major general difference can be chalked up to rapidly increasing behavioral health problems, things like depression, hyperactivity. I have that.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning anxiety and substance abuse. Between 2014 and 2017, rates of depression and hyperactivity increased 30% among millennials. Compared to Gen X, millennials between the ages of 30 and 39. By the way, millennials are now between 30 and 39.
I feel like it keeps getting pushed back. For a while, I thought it was just young people. But 30 to 39, okay, I fall within that range.
You're,
so do you?
Well, you're less likely to die from boring old things like heart disease and cancer.
Good.
But more likely to die from accidental overdose, suicide, and homicide.
Wow.
You're more likely to get shot.
That's not good at all.
What a headline. Millennials will get sick and die faster. Well, you're not.
So all this exercise I'm doing is just going to go down the drain because I'm going to eventually just succumb to, alcohol abuse and depression, and working out and trying to take vitamins and everything just goes down the drain, huh? Man,
well, we're
darn
looking,
Vice.
You're too stressed out over there, although I think in your case, you kind of got a nice chill to you there. You know, you're a Southern Utah University guy.
Yeah, true. I have a very stressful job, though. Radio is very stressful sometimes,
as you know. Right. This will.
You know, I think eventually we're all going to just be like John Travolta in The Bubble Boy. We're just going to walk around in our own little bubbles just to make sure that we're all okay.
Maybe we will. All right, real quick, Doc, welcome to WGN. You want to weigh in on Cooking with Carm? Go ahead.
I just thought I'd suggest a theme to mix it up once in a while. Have people call in with what they prepared while watching the previous week's football game.
with what they prepared while watching the previous week's football game.
Maybe they were tailgating or eating at home.
I see. Doc, you want to lead the way there? Did you do such a thing?
Watched the Chiefs last. I'm from Kansas City. Watched the Chiefs. We just did tenderloins and fries, but during the second half, I did a double batch of homemade peanut butter cookies and homemade chocolate chip cookies. And
wow.
Been eating those all week.
You live in Kansas City there, Doc?
I am, but I go to St. Louis 5 nights a week. So I leave about 8 o'clock, get back about 5 or 6 in the morning.
You driving right now?
I am, just coming into St. Louis.
So we're picking us up on the old on the regular signal there? You're not listening on your phone?
No, as soon as I leave Kansas City, if it's dark, you guys come in clear as a bell.
That's beautiful.
And I'll catch you all the way back. I will be listening to the show following you.
All right, Nick D coming up, man. You ever stop at McGonagall's in Kansas City there, Doc?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Great place to buy steaks and
barbecue.
Bratwurst, and, you know, they cook stuff outside there on Ward Parkway.
All right, I completely believe in your cookies now. If you're dropping Ward Parkway and McGonagall's, you're living your life correctly, Doc. Congratulations.
I'm 66, so I'm not changing now.
Good.
I'm going to dial up the insulin pen.
Well, stay healthy, Doc. Stay with us, man, all right?
All right. Enjoy the show, as always.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. McGonagall's, if anybody ever goes to KC, KC is known for their barbecue. Everyone talks about Okie Joe's and Jack Stack and Arthur Bryant's and Gates. McGonagall's, their pulled pork sandwich, and they've got a smoker in their parking lot. They've got picnic tables on a lawn. It's an old-school grocery store. I've never been to a place like it in any part of the country. Absolutely. It's so unbelievably delicious, just for the record.
Sounds good. Do you prefer the KC barbecue as opposed to Chicago, Texas?
No, they're all the same. Who can tell the difference?
No one.
The St. Louis rub, the Casey this, the sweet, the whatnot.
The burnt ends.
The burnt ends are delicious. All right, let's take a quick time out here. I want to come back with a man who was arrested with driving around in a minivan with 163 pounds of marijuana, which is aggressive, but will be legal come January. So hang in there, sir, although Terry Tucker's in a little bit of trouble. And, yes, Lady Gaga is in the news as well, and it's really just disappointing. 720 WGN.